Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we're going to pick up with the study that we've been going through over the last couple of weeks, looking at some aspects of the Sermon on the Mount, these instructions that we see recorded in Matthew's chapters 5, 6, and 7, and how this information that individuals really try to apply to the members of the body of Christ, how when you actually look at these chapters, it's very clear that none of this information could actually possibly apply to us who are the members of the body of Christ. And we're going to look here in over in Matthew chapter number 5, and we're going to read a passage that's dealing with some aspects of the law, which is clearly part of these commands that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving. So in Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to start here, verse number 17 says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, individuals will try to apply a passage out of John that says that the law came by Moses and grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll use that and say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ did away with the law. He instituted grace, and what we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the beginning of the grace of God, and that the information that's contained related to the dispensation of grace doesn't begin with, you know, the Apostle Paul, but begins with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, right here we're seeing this issue of that the Lord Jesus Christ is clearly identifying that the information that is contained in the law and also contained in the prophets, you know, he's come not to destroy those things, but he's come to fulfill all of the information that has been laid out. And the prophets were clearly pointing to things of the Lord Jesus Christ and what was going to happen throughout his whole ministry, starting from his birth and going all the way to his death, resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. And we're going to look very quickly at a couple of these prophecies and then see how it is that they were fulfilled during his ministry. One of the first ones here, we're going to go to Psalm chapter 68. We're going to read here verse number 18. It says, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them." So we see here that the author of this psalm, who's David, is actually making a reference to this issue of "Thou hast ascended on high," and making a reference truly to the ascension that's going to occur. Now, we see that that ascension is actually made a reference to, and let's go over to Acts chapter number 1. And this is after here in Acts chapter number 1 where they have asked him about, is he going to restore again the kingdom to them? He answers that question and says about, you know, what's going to happen. Now we read here verse number 9, after that answer's been given, it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So we see a reference to his ascension, his being taken away from them, and the fact that this had been prophesied, as we had read, over in the book of Psalms. Now, I had made a reference to the fact that not only did this apply to, you know, his death, burial, and resurrection, but there's also prophecies that spoke about things related to his birth and what was going to happen. Let's go over to the book of Isaiah. And in the prophet Isaiah, we're going to turn to chapter number 7. And we're going to read here a prophecy that Isaiah gives here in verse number 14, which says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, that's a prophecy about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, a prophecy that we're going to see fulfilled if we turn over to Matthew chapter number 1. And we're going to see here that Matthew is going to begin his book speaking about this prophecy that we had just read over in Isaiah chapter number 7. Now let's pick up here in verse number 18 of Matthew chapter number 1. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, we see that Matthew is making that very clear reference to the fact of, and I read verse 22 again because it's showing exactly what's going on and what Matthew chapter number 5 is making a reference to when it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying." The issues that are laid out in the Old Testament prophecies, all of those things are going to be fulfilled. So when the Lord Jesus Christ is making that reference and talking about this issue of, you know, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill," is that the issues are that all of those things have to be fulfilled as part of the promises that have been laid out of God. Now, prophecy, that's the communication that God has had with man, and those things are very clear of what it is that purpose for. You know, Peter actually makes a reference to some things related to prophecy, and I want to go over to here to 2 Peter chapter number 1 for just a second here, just to kind of see what it is that Peter makes a reference to related to the issue of prophecy. When he says here in 2 Peter chapter number 1, and we're going to read verses 20 and 21, which say, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." So all the things that we see in the prophetic program, all the things written by Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all of the other prophets, they're all written down as direct communication from God, communicating information that God wanted the nation of Israel to have as understanding related to their program. So they were able to take all of this information and be able to very clearly understand what not only what God intended for them in the present, but also what God was going to intend for them and what was actually going to occur with them in the future. And that's why those things have to be fulfilled, as the Lord Jesus Christ is making that reference to over here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. They have to be fulfilled because God has said he's going to fulfill all of those things. We see the Apostle Paul, when you read Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, which speak of the stumbling, the fall, and the diminishing of the nation of Israel. Their condition that they're in today, why it is that they're like this, but also what's going to happen with them in the future and how God's going to deal with them again, because there are still prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled, and God's going to fulfill all of the promises that have been made. And that's why when the Lord Jesus Christ is saying this, he's reaffirming to them that God's going to keep the promises that have been made. Now, we spent some time here on the issue of the prophets. The Lord Jesus Christ also made a reference here to the issue of, think not that I am come to destroy the law, and about how he's come to actually fulfill the law with them. Now, when we think about the issues of the law and all the information that was given to Moses over in the book of Exodus, you know, individuals really just try to focus on the whole issue of, well, there was 10 commandments that were given, and if you can try to follow those 10 commandments, you're doing okay and you're doing what God intended. God never put those 10 pieces of the law as anything of saying, well, they're better than any other part of the law. In fact, over in the book of James, it talks about how an individual, if they break one piece of the law, they're guilty of the whole entire law. So somebody breaking what, you know, most people consider to be a very insignificant part of the law, and I'll just give a couple of examples of some things that, you know, people would say are very insignificant pieces of it. You know, one of them would be the dietary commands we see over in the book of Leviticus chapter number 11, where there's information about how there's animals that are considered to be clean, you know, which means that they're allowed to eat those animals. And there's also animals that are considered to be unclean. And the unclean animals, there's no way that the Israelites were supposed to eat any of those animals. Now, when you think about some of the things that we eat today, you know, we eat a lot of those animals that are in the unclean list of animals. You know, we have things like shrimp and lobster. You know, they were not supposed to eat shellfish. You know, we eat catfish. You know, again, an animal that we were not supposed to eat according to those commands in the book of Leviticus. You know, things of pork, you know, pork chops, bacon, pork ribs, all of those things, you know, were excluded from the issues of the clean animals that Israel was supposed to eat. Now, individuals say, well, you know, it's not a big deal if you do those things. In God's eyes, it actually was a big deal. In God's eyes, having a piece of bacon was the equivalent of killing someone, because you were breaking one part of the law and you would be guilty of breaking the whole law. You know, another aspect of people would say would be a very minor thing is that The scriptures talk about how an individual was not supposed to wear a piece of clothing that was made of diverse fabrics, which means that, you know, everything that a person was wearing had to be 100% pure of one particular fabric. And if somebody wore anything that was any sort of a blend, they would be guilty of breaking the law. Now, I'm sure, you know, if anybody looked at the clothing they're, you know, probably wearing right now as they're listening to this podcast, that at least one piece of clothing that the individual is wearing would actually be some sort of a blend. Because most of the clothing that is out today is some sort of blended fabric. Again, the person wearing that piece of clothing would be just as guilty as if they killed someone under the eyes of the law. That's why the whole conclusion, when you actually look at the things of the law, is that there's none righteous, no, not one. Nobody could keep the law because there were so many things that an individual had to try to do that it just took one mistake and that individual's part to actually break the law, be considered guilty before God. And if a person is considered to be guilty, there's only one thing that would actually be deserving for that individual, and that would be to be made a partaker of the second death, the eternal separation from God, to be cast into the lake of fire before the new heaven and the new earth are actually, you know, created at that time at the end of the book of Revelation. That's what mankind actually deserves. That's also why the Lord Jesus Christ had to come down here on planet Earth. He had to come because somebody had to be that perfect sacrifice that would actually be able to have fulfilled all of the things of the law, be considered righteous, and mankind would have to have some form of access to that righteousness in order to receive salvation, in order to be considered righteous in the eyes of God. Because if we put anything on the righteousness of man, over in the book of Isaiah, it talks about how the righteousness of man is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. There's nothing good that comes out of man. Mankind could not possibly keep the things of the law. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ had to come down here. He had to do those things. And when he says here about the law and the prophets, he's come to fulfill all of those things. And then talks about how in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 5, when it says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, we have here the Lord Jesus Christ talking about some things related to the issue of the preservation of God's word. This very much particularly talking about how the law was going to be preserved and giving that time frame till all be fulfilled, because the things of God's word are not going to pass away. There's a preservation of things that's actually going to occur. Now, we're over here what's called the New Testament. I want to go to 1 Peter for a moment. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. And we're going to see what Peter writes here, we're going to start in verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, we see here that Peter's making this reference to being born again. And that's, you know, if you go over in John chapter number 3, you see where the Lord Jesus Christ has that conversation with Nicodemus and talks about how, you know, ye, that the plural aspect of that the whole nation of Israel needs to be born again, because the nation of Israel needs to be in belief in order to be functioning as that kingdom of priests and holy nation that God has intended for them. And that's what's being made a reference to, the issue of being born again, because Israel is God's son. And you see that over in the book of Exodus, chapter number 4, where he gives that information. And we see how it talks about here that the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word is going to last, you know, and I mean, say those words again, forever, because there's a guarantee of God preserving his word. Now, let's go over here to the book of Psalms again. Let's go to Psalm 12. Here we're going to see another verse that's going to be talking here about this issue of God preserving his word. And here in Psalm 12, we're going to read here verse 6 and 7. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Again, the issue of God preserving his word forever. God's not going to let anything happen to his word, because his word he magnifies above his name. We see in the beginning of the book of John how it talks about, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He is the Word of God personified. The Word of God come down here on earth. The Word of God being preserved and talking about how he's going to fulfill all of the things that have been laid out, and talking specifically about how he's going to fulfill the law, the prophets, the information that's been given to the nation of Israel, and how everything's going to be kept until it is fulfilled, with the ultimate fulfillment coming when the kingdom is established. When we're talking at the end of the book of Revelation is when this is making a reference to the establishment of that kingdom, and everything that has been laid out is going to be preserved. Now, when we have our next episode, we're going to be focusing on the issues of verse 19 and 20 and talking about the issue of, you know, this instruction of keeping and teaching the things of the law, and we're going to contrast it with some of the things that the Apostle Paul says about us as the members of the body of Christ today, because we're going to see there's a very clear contrast between what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in those two verses and all of the information that's laid out by the Apostle Paul in Romans through Philemon. Because there's no indication that we are to keep the law, because, and I'm going to give a very quick, you know, summary, we have been removed from the law. We've been made free from the law. It's impossible for us to even transgress and to commit that sin because the law has been taken away from us, and that's such a glorious thing. The moment we put our trust in the gospel and the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing that and that alone for our salvation, the truth of being removed from the law is a reality for us as the members of the body of Christ today. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles, you know, which cover a wide variety of topics. We have some links to some Bible study charts. We have links to some audio files of our messages. We also have information on how you can watch our Sunday services being broadcast live over Facebook, and information on how you can join our Wednesday night Bible study as well, because, you know, we'd love to, you know, have you be members of, you know, participating in that. We also, you know, if you have any questions or comments about either anything that's on our website or, you know, anything that you've heard in any of these broadcasts, you know, feel free to contact us. You know, there's various methods of contact that are laid out on our website as well. Till next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.